Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Tesvav Amud Beis. We're 5 lines from the bottom of Krum Esel Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. So we're a little bit in the middle of the sugya. There's machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish and the Rabbanan as to whether or not there was one Aron in the times of the Beis HaMikdash and times of David HaMelech, or in the times of Nevi'im, really, basically, was there one Aron or was there two? So according to the Rabbanan, they said one. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, he says two. So now the Gemara brought a proof before of Rabbanan. Now the Gemara tries to attempt to bring a proof for Yehuda ben Lakish, who says again that there are two different Aron. So it says the Gemara, Krom Esel, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. The psukim seem to bring a raya for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Which psukim? Ve'omer Shaul Achia Gisha Aron Elokim. Shaul said to Achia, bring the Aron of Hashem, because Hashem was with Klal Yisrael on that day. So now this is taking place in the Melchama they had with Plishtim during the reign of Shaul. So during the battlefield, Shaul asked Achia who was at the Kohen Gadol at the time to bring the Aron. Velo Aron by Kiryas Yarim. Wait a second. He's saying to bring the Aron Elokim, and it was in Kiryas Yarim. It was not in Kiryas Yarim at the time. It was supposed to be in when the Plishtim captured in the earlier battle. It says that it was clearly not there. So we see that there was apparently two Arons, because how could it be that Shaul was bringing an Aron from Kiryas Yarim when the Plishtim were the ones who had it at the time? That's what comes out according to the Psukim. So says the Gemara, Mavdin Le Rabbanan. So this is a very good proof that clearly indicates that there's a second Aron. What are the Rabbanan going to do to respond to this proof? So says the Gemara, Gishalei Atzitz. No, it doesn't mean to bring the other Aron. Right, the Plishtim had the Aron at the time. Rather, it said bring the Tzitz. The Tzitz, the Kohen Gadol had to have. There was 4 Begadim of a Kohen Hadyo and 4 additional Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, one of them being the Tzitz, right, the Betumim, the Me'il. It was the Ephod. Those different begadim were all special to Kohen Gadol. He was telling to bring the tzitz specifically was where the Kohen Gadol could be asked. The Shaila is with the Urim Vetumim answering the questions, and that's what's reference to Aron. It's reference to the Kohen Gadol, not to the actual Aron. Says the Gemara, fine. Another proof for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Krom Esel Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Another pasuk seems to support Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim besukos. So this pasuk is referenced to during the time of David HaMelech, and Klal Yisrael was fighting. David was trying to bring Uriah, this whole Maisa with Bathsheba, Uriah Achiti and Bathsheba, that David HaMelech had relations while she was married, and then tried to bring Uriah to have relations with her so that they wouldn't realize that David was the father. So then he said, it's not right for me. It's not right for me while the Aron is out and Klal Yisrael is in war, and Klal Yisrael is in war. It's not right for me to have relations with my wife. So says the Gemara Tuna Katanel to Ardaf, to design, says the Gemara, Velo Aron Bitzion Haya. So isn't it that the Aron was not in Besukos, rather it was in Tzion, it was in Yerushalayim. David HaMelech brought it to Yerushalayim. So we had it clearly indicates that there was another Aron, one which was in the battle with them, and one of them which was going to be in Sion. So the Gemara answers, Mav de Rabban again, this is a very good proof. So what are the Rabban going to respond to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish's Raya from this? So what are they going to say? So it says, Gemara, Schachu Kekaroi. No, they were saying that the Aron, he was upset that it's under a temporary structure. The Schach is not like the literally Lashon Basukos that was in a place, but rather it was saying that it was like in this temporary hut type structure without a proper roof. Shadayin Lanim the Beis HaBechira, because Beis HaMikdash wasn't built and the Aron didn't have a real permanent makom to stay. So that's what Uriah Achiti comes out, the way he was bothered by this as well. And seemingly, according to this interpretation, of the Chor, like, why is he mentioning it? What is it? What sheichas does this have to do with Uriah not going back to be with his wife, Lachora, if it has nothing to do with the Aron, at that point, being with Klal Yisrael at the war? Okay, I'm not exactly sure other Rabbanan are pshut. The Shomekra seems to fall a lot nicer with Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish on that pasuk. Okay, now going back, our Mishnah says that the Mishnah, what the Aron was hidden away. So the Raisa talks about Mishnah Nignas Aron. When the Aron was hidden away by Yoshe HaMelech, Nignas Imo, it wasn't just that, it was other things. So the Gemara actually comes up and increases in Horios like this also. There's a Gemara Bavli about this same exact idea. That Tzinsenes HaMan, that the jar of man that came out from the time of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. So there's a famous story with the Gemara tells about here. The Gemara does elaborate, but the Gemara in Bavli tells us that why did Hashem make it that they should? Why was this around from the beginning? So because Yirmiyahu told everybody, go learn Torah, stop to Avodah, start learning Torah. And they said, we don't have time. We're not going to be able to learn Torah. We're not going to be able to work. He says, look, he took out the tzitzit on someone. He said, look, you guys, your ancestors were able to survive off this. Hashem's in charge of Parnasa. Do your stadlus to make sure you're learning. Hashem will still give you the parnasa. Either way, so the Gemara continues, it's Luchas Shemen HaMishcha, also the oil which they used to anoint the kings with, that Moshe Rabbeinu's oil, the Gemara's going to discuss this, Makos Shel Aron HaPrachov Shkedav, and the staff of Aaron, and also the blossoms and the almonds, which grew of it. We know the whole famous machlokas with Korach, that Korach Bardasso, against Aaron. So they were trying to say that Aaron shouldn't be the Kohen Gadol. And so they all put their sticks in front, and Aaron's stick miraculously developed these blossoms and almonds to show that also you'll be punished if you, like an almond is very quick to grow. Anyone who's Cholik on Kahuna will quickly be punished. Also the box that the Plishtim sent as an offering to Hashem for the Aver that they had done by taking the Aron when the Plishtim fought Klal Yisrael, they took over the Aron in times of Eli, the very beginning. So then they started to suffer tremendously from that. So after that point, they started to get different hemorrhoids, did all these bad things. So then they gave it back to Klal Yisrael, and miraculously went to Beit Shemesh. That's the whole story later in Nevi'im after that. So where it now says, so who was the one who hid this Aron? Yoshiyahu Ganza. It was Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu was a righteous king. Only one of the only righteous kings basically towards the very end of the time. His grandfather Menashe was one of the worst kings. And Amon, who was his father, were all terrible people. And yet he, even from a young age, he realized, I think he was 7, he opened the Torah and he realized that for the Tochava, that Klal Yisrael was going to be punished. So he did major tshuva and he started a mass tshuva movement to stop the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. It was basically successful, except for very few people who still were doing Avodah Zarah. Kevan Shirah Shekosim, Yolech Hashem Vez Malchach Asher Tekim Alav Vez Agoya Shal Yadat Vez Mosecha, the Pasuk in Devarim, which says, one day Hashem is going to lead you and the kings to a place where you guys had never knew, and so you're going to go into Galus. So he knew immediately that was a simon that was going to happen in his in a very short time. I think it was around 20 years after his reign of Yoshiyahu HaMelech did the Beis HaMikdash was in fact destroyed. Amad Ganzo, so therefore he had buried all of these things under the Beis HaMikdash. So still there, Adayel, wherever they are, we don't know who they are, but they're somewhere under our bias. Hadu Dosiv, as the Pasuk says, Ayomar Leviim Amevinim Lachol Yisrael HaKadoshim Hashem. Yoshiyahu said to Leviim, all Yisrael who are holy to Hashem. To know us, Aaron, Hakodesh Rabbis, Hashem, Bana Shlom, Ben David, and Israel, Ein Lachem, Masa, Bakasif. Put the Aaron of the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built, Shlomo, the son of David, right, that he built, and you're not going to have anything carrying on your shoulders. So the Gemara explains what is this pasuk indicating. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Im Golahu, Im Achem, the Bavel. If the Aron goes to the Bavel, and to Matsuno Solom and Kumi, will never bring it back properly. It's never going to be able to get back. So therefore, I'm going to be nignas it right now. Says the Gemara. Writer the Gemara says Ella. So Rabbi Yoshua said, "Ata yudus Hashem lekecha v'esam yisrael." So now, serve Hashem, I'm going to be nignas it. I'm going to bury it under the ground, and we can still be worshiping Hashem, and we don't have to worry that it's going to be taken away. Now the Gemara discusses Writer. Pitom Hashem and Mishcha. With regards to the anointing oil of a king, of Kohan, we're going to see, Be'at HaKachal, as the Pasuk says, you should take for yourself, right? We had a 500 shekel the more, right? The more the Pasuk gets into it. Ve'kidash, 500, so you should take 500 kidas. Again, the whole Pasuk says, Be'at HaKachal, v'samim rosh, mar dror 500, v'kinam bosim, achzisu 500, v'asayim, v'kinam bosim 500, v'kidah 500 shekel zayisin. So again, you should take 500 type of spice and other fragrances, cinnamon, half of it, 250 of other type of fragrance, and kida also should be 500 shekels worth, and shemen zayisin, and hin is an amount of 12 lub, as we're going to see. So we learn from here, shein elef chamesh meos manim. So it was equal to 1,500. Chalakim, 1,1500 chalakim. So it says the Gemara of everything total. So the Gemara says, Shem Zayis Hin, what do we learn from the Hin of olive oil? Shneimasar Lug, that's what we just went, that 12 Lug is the amount of olive oil of a Hin. Shebol Shulkin is a Yikarim, and that they were able to boil the roots of the four things that we just had before, of the Besamim, Rosh, Mar Dror, and the Kida. Knebosim, so those four things were able to be used with the Shem and Zayis Hin. Div Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shulkan, no, Bemayim, no. You just boil them in water. Then he removes the roots and he puts olive oil on them. Once the oil is absorbed in the smell of the fragrances, he would remove the oil. As the people, the spice makers had done. That's what the people make special smells. Hadu d'chsev, as the pasuk says, shemen mishchas kodesh, you should make it of holy, that it should be blended together. Clearly, an act of the lashon is the pasuk is the lashon of the pitman, the people who are making the spices should do. So the Gemara continues. Now the Gemara says, Tanit, the Braisa teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda by Eloi. Said Shemana Mishka Shasa Moshe and Midbar Ma'isan Isim Nasam Tzklav Atzof. It was miraculous from the very beginning until the very end. The whole Ma'isa with it is miraculous. What was that? Sheha Shemitchi Leloya Bo Ela Shemasar. Look, it only had 12 look. It's not that much. Never Shemen Zayas Hin. So the pasuk says Shemen Zayas Hin, and a hin we know is 12 look. And so then all Imasuf was like Karan Shemen Zayas Hin. So we said Imasuf Bo Esha Ekaran Loya Bo Safek. If even almost just for to put it on all of the kalim and the roots and the of the stuff before the kalim, even before that, that would be enough. The spices had 1,500 shekel weights, so this is definitely not going to be enough for the amount of oil that he had. So then, so the imazok shekel suffik al chashkam even more so, so that it's not going to be for boiling the roots or boleh, because the fire absorbs the oils. Clearly, did not have enough, but itzibul and the wood. Together with the roots of the spices, should absorb more of the oil. Definitely not going to have enough oil. But ayor balas, and not only that, the pot's going to absorb it. We menum shechal mishkan to full kelim, and yet with this oil that you burnt and you boiled and you put together with all these spices, it had enough oil to be nimshach to anoint the all of the kelim of the base of Migdash. It can't be. Not only that, the shulchan was very large, and the menorah was a bigger thing, and also Aaron HaKohen and all his children doing the 7 days of Meluah and the service of Meluah, which we're going to read about in this week's parsha for Shmini. That's when Aaron and Nadab and Avihu died after the 7 days of the Meluah. And after that, the future Kohanim were also going to be anointed from this amount of oil. So that's the miracle. So the Gemara now continues, but Melech Mitchilaton Mashicha. So just before the Gemara is going to bring the Raya, but the miracle, the Gemara just points out that a king whose first his family is going to require Mashicha, the special anointing of this oil of Moshe Rabbeinu. Melech and Melech ain't a Mashicha. However, a king, it's mainly a symbolic act. So a king whose son is taking over, and everyone knows that he's the son who should be taking over, then there's no need to do the anointing oil. My time, because the pasuk says Kum Mashcheu Ki Zehu. The pasuk by David Melech, it says, by Shmuel when he's coming to anoint him, and he kept thinking it was all the older brothers. Finally, Hashem had to tell him, and no, this is the one, Davar HaMelech. So you should anoint him, because he's the one. Zeh, Tan Mashicha, and Zeh is actually a gematria of 12, like the 12 hin that we had, the 12, which is the 12 lug, which is equal to that hin of Moshe Rabbeinu's oil. Use that, Zeh, Tan Mashicha, only this one's allowed to be anointed, but in Beno, Tan Mashicha, but his son is not going to require anointing. Aval Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, Filo Anasardoras, Tan Mashicha, Avra Kohen Gadol. Even many generations on, 10 is just a normal of completion, but meaning many more, that also is going to require Shemen HaMishcha. Tosfos Rosh is asking a question. In the Gemara, rather, in Horios, again, right, not on Mishrami, but in Horios, he asked the question. The Gemara is a very parallel Gemara, as mentioned before. So he asked the question, that, wait a second, how is this not a problem of Me'ilah Bekutchen, that to this anointing process? So it said, the Pasuk says, Makzal Okiosokom, oh, and if someone who calls Azari, who does this, is going to have Karis, Yikras, is going to be Karif Karis for using it. So the Tosfos Rosh is a very interesting thing. It says, Albasar Adam Lo Yisach. And he thinks maybe there's a drush, an implicit drush that the Gemara had, which is telling us that it says specifically Abasar Adam. Adam is a general person, your standard commoner. However, for a king, that's going to be not in the pasuk. Abasar Adam lo yisach l'lashon of the pasuk. Very fascinating. So this drush is basically coming up with a drusha, coming up with his own drusha to explain that the kohen, that he really a kohen gadol, but definitely a melech would not be an issue. A kohen is anyways kaddish, and he's maybe allowed to use it, but for sure by a melech, the shayla of me'ila would not be applicable because of the pasuk is saying Adam, but not necessarily a king. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara goes weiter and says, "V'chulo kayam nasi lavo." And yet, even this oil, not only for them, is going to be allowed. Even in the Melech Mashiach, when we're going to have the third base of Megdash Bez Hashem, we're going to be using that oil of Moshe Rabbeinu. Adav Seif Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yezeh L'Doros Eichem. This amount, this exact Zeh, we mentioned the numeric value of Zeh is 12. That this total is going to always be around. 12 lukin is always remain, even for Bayish Shlishi. Now the Gemara continues another halacha. Ein moshkin ha-malachim ela al-gavei ha-mayim. You should dafka be anointing them by a spring, because a spring is symbolizing, the Gemara in Bavli tells us, it's the fact that it should continue to be Moshe, continuously flow. The kingship should continuously flow. Shneimar, the pasuk says, when it comes to Shlomo, barakasim ha-shlomo b'nei al-pirda asher liv, aratem oso el-agichon, you should bring him, take him down to the Gichon. It's very fascinating when you take tours of Ir David, the mamish bring you to all these places. It's like the Tanakh coming to life. And also Sham Tzadok HaKohen Menasa Navi LeMelech Yisrael. There, Tzadok HaKohen is going to take him, and Menasa Navi is going to bring him and make him king over all of Klal Yisrael. That's what Shlomo was. So now the word says Ein Moshkin Melech Ben Melech El Menei Machlokas. So many times you'll do it, except for again when it's afraid that people won't know. There's no need to, but when there's a need to, that the pasuk says L'man Yarechem Mamachlo Huba Ramakar Yisrael, that it should continue. So then you should do the Mashicha if there's a problem of his continuing. Nimah Nimshach Shlomo. So what reason was Shlomo Melech anointed, if his father was the, we just said Malach and Malach doesn't need to. So Shlomo, Mnei Malachukah Shal Adoniyahu, Adoniyahu tried to, during the very end of David's life, that's what the Bathsheba came and saved the day. But, before then, Adoniyahu was trying to, I think he had Yoav, Betsuria, a very powerful general of David Malach's army coming behind him. He had other big shots who were supporting his king, his role of becoming the king. But it didn't end up happening. So, because it was a machlokas of Adoniyahu, there still was a shaila of who should be the melech. So then, that's why they anointed Shlomo to solidify his reign of kingship. So now the Gemara continues. Yoash, why was Yoash anointed? Nay, Asalia. That's the Yoash was the survivor of the whole Asalia's attempt to basically get rid of all of the malchus based David. He was saved by his aunt miraculously, who hid him. And after Asalia ruled the land, after 6 years, they brought him back and they anointed him to become the king. Yehoyachaz, why was Yehoyachaz? Because Yehoyachim Achiv, Shagam and Shteshanim, he was 2 years older. This was Yehoyachaz and Yehoyachim were both sons of Yoshiyahu Melech. One was 25, one was 23. And the 23-year-old was a younger son. He was appointed Yehoyachaz. And therefore, since he was younger, he didn't know that he should be appointed specifically so that everyone should know that he should become the king. Ne-Yoram. And Yehu, sorry, I skipped the line. Yehu, what was Yehu? Because Ne-Yoram, because of Yoram. This is all the different Chazar of Tanakh. Yoram took over for Achav after the king, though. And so then after that, Yehu, at that point, was Hashem told Elisha to anoint Yehu as the king, and Yehu was going to destroy the house of Achav. So the Gemara says, Lo kein ksiv kum mashkehu ki zehu, zeto mashkech rabbi malcha yisrael to mashkech. The Gemara is another just, wait a second. You just said Yehu, from the king, who was the king of the 10 tribes, the king of Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael, not Malchus Beis David Yehuda. So he was the Malchus of the 10 tribes. That wasn't only Malchus Beis David was the one who did the symbolic action of the anointing the oil. So says the Gemara, Elar, not Yehoyachaz, B'nei Yehoyakim, Achav Shagodah, B'manu Shteshanim. The first part of that makes sense. The Yehoyachaz and Yehoyakim, both of them required it because they were descendants of David HaMelech. However, the lo Yoshiyahu Ganzel, we're asking another question at this point. Yoshiyahu was their father. We just said Yoshiyahu Melech was Gones. He put it away, the Shemen and Mishlach. So the Gemara answers, Hadad Amrav, Bar Shemen and Mishlach. So therefore, we can give an answer for both of these problems, that really it was with the type of balsam, not with the type of Moshe Rabbeinu's oil, rather a different balsam that smelled good, but wasn't the same. The same thing, that would be the answer for, why Yoram, would be Yehu in the place of Yoram, and that would be the place of why Yehoyachim, when there was no Shemana Mishcha still available, they were able to use that. So now the Gemara continues. Ein Moshchin Melachim HaMelachim Ela Min HaKarev. They only know the kings from literally a horn of oil. The oil was used as type of a horn of an animal. All of they were from a flask of oil. And this symbolism ended up being a simon that they're going to have a very short lived reign. David and Shlomo Nimshachim and Akarim. We know David Melech and Shlomo Melech were done with a horn of oil. His malchus continued forever. So then we're good. There's Ein Moshchin. Well, not really forever. Meaning right now we don't have malchus bestowed, but we have descendants still around. Ein Moshchin Kohanim Melachim. We do not anoint kings who are Kohanim. Amar Rabbi Yoda unto Dai. Al Shem, the pasuk says Lo Yasher Shem Yehuda, and Uncle is translated over there that you should not take over the kingship over the Rabban is a long length over there. He criticizes. He thinks that's why the Malchus of the Chashmonaim took over. That's the major avera that they had committed, and he's very critical of them for doing that. That's why he thinks why they're wiped out, because they violated this pasuk of Lo Yakunem Alevim, that the pasuk says that the lashon is that they should not be around Lo Yaster Shem Yehuda. The Gemara now quotes a different pasuk for this. The Gemara mentions Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Ada Laman Yerachemim Al Malchuhu Banav Karev Yisrael Ma'achsid Basha. What does it say after that? Lo Yehuda Kohanim Alevim should not be for the Kohanim Alevim. Again, that's a reference to the plain words. The plain lashon should be reference to the fact that they should become kings. Amar Yochanan says Hu Yochanan Hu Yoyachaz Yochanan. And Yoyachaz, these are two names, they're really the same person. The pasuk says by Yoshiyahu and his son Yochanan, and his second son was Yoyakim, and his third son was Tzidkiah, his fourth son was Shalom. So we're saying that Yochanan really was Yoyachaz. And where's the Vaksiv of Bechor Yochanan? But it says the first one was Yochanan. If Yochanan was Yoyachaz, Yoyachaz was not the oldest son. So the Yoyachaz was the oldest, that can't be. The verse says that Yoyachaz was 2 years younger than Yoyakim. So the Gemara now says Bechor Lamalchus, that means Yochanan Shas Yoyachaz was really the beginning to the first one to become the king after Yosha Melech had died. So now the Gemara quotes Amar Biyochanan Hu Shalom Tzidkiyahu. The lesson of Shalom is the same as Shalom, and the pasuk says over there has is a comment is also Tzidkiyahu as mentioned in that pasuk. The Gemara says Vaksiv Vashlishi Tzidkiyahu Vir Shalom Shalom, and it seems that it clearly is applied by different people. It says the third one was Tzidkiyahu, and the fourth son was Shalom. Evidently, obviously, it's two different people. So Gemara says Shlishi the told us. No, it's saying that the really he meant the third. It didn't mean that he was the third sons. Rather, it was Revius. It was the third of the sons of Yoshiyahu Melech, and he was the fourth. Revi'il Malchus, when it describes the fourth, that means he's the fourth one to take over as becoming the king. Now, the Gemara continues Tzidkiyahu. Why was he called Tzidkiyahu? Shetidak lev midas adin. Because even though he was blinded and all of his children were killed in front of him by Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, he still did not, he was accepted that it was from Hashem. Shalom, why was he called Shalom? Shibiyamav Shalom Malchus David. He was the very last king in Malchus Beis David as the Beis HaMikdash was about to be destroyed. And he was the end of that monarchy. Rish Lakish Amar, Lo Shalom Avish, Lo Shalom Tzigo Shmei, Ela Masanya. His name was Masanya, Hadu, the Siva Yimlach, Bayam Lech, Melch Bavel, Masanya, Dodo Tachtav, he crowned Yochanan's uncle in his place, Vyasev Shemot Tzidkiyahu, and made his name Tzidkiyahu. That's the Lashon. Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion about the Arun. Amar Biyochanan, Bayam Shashisha Tvach Amei Aron Asira, Rashi Chumash quotes as a quote almost every Gemara. Unbelievable, but Rashi quotes in Chumash also as Machlokas, that the Aron was made of 6 Amat Tvachim. You could either have a 6.5 Amat Tvachim, that's called a large one, a 6.5 Tvachim in an Amma, or 6 Tvachim Amma, or 5 Tvachim Amma. Man Tana Ba'Amma Shal Shisha Tvachim. Who's the Tana holds that the Aron was made of Amma of 6 Tvachim? Must be Rav Meir, as Rav Meir, he is, as it says, the son of the Mishnah. Rav Meir said, Kol Amos Be'Benos, all the Amos of the Beis HaMikdash, and really, the Mishkan, and subsequently Beis HaMikdash, were of the 6 Tvachim, the medium-sized Tvachim, which was not the 6.5 ones, but the 6 Tvachim one. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Amos Abinyan Shish, no, only the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash had 6 Tvachim. Shel Kelim Chamisha, with regards to the Kelim, those were only 5 Tvachim. Adai said Rabbi Meir, when it comes to Rabbi Meir, Du Amar Ba'amash Shashit Tvachim, Ya Aaron Asway, who says that the Aaron was made of 6 Tvachim. Arko Shel Aaron Chamisha Sar Tvachim, the length of the Aaron was 15 Tvachim. The Chesir of the Pasuk says, Amasai Mechetzi Arko, 2.5 Amos, which comes out to 15 Tvachim. Amsa Ashisa, the first Am of these 2.5 Amos is 6 Tvachim. Amsa Ashisa, the second Am is also going to be 6 Tvachim. Palgos Amsa Tlasa, and the remaining half an Am is going to be 3 Tvachim. Therefore, we have 15 Tvachim. Rabbi Yochanan explains, according to Meir, how did the luchos fit into the aron? The arba luchos ayubo, and there were 4 luchos in the aron. Shnayim shleimim, there were 2 that were intact and were complete. There's shnayim shvurim, and there's famous 2 ones that Moshe broke when he threw them down. Save asher shibarta v'samte baron. Those that you broke, you should put them in the aron. Haluchos ayu kol echad v'echad arko shisha tvachim. The luchos had 6 tvach, were 6 tvach from the aron. Rabba shlosh, rachba shlosh, and 3 tvach from wide. V'sein rachban ashel luchos the arkon shel aron. If you put the width of the 4 luchos, meaning that's going to equal 12 tefachim, and that's going to be parallel to the 15 tefachs of the length of the aron. Nishtar Hashem shal tefachim. So we have a remainder of 3 tefachim of space with the overlap of the aron was bigger than 3 tefachim than the actual luchos inside. Ten mayim, turning on the next slide. But now ten mayim chatzi tefach lechol kosel. So then you should put these 3 tefachim a half on each wall of the aron. Nishtar shnei tefachim the sefer Torah. So you have 2 tefachim remain for a sefer Torah. The Gemara continues. Rachbo shel aron tisha tvachim. The width of the aron is 9 tvachim. Nachsev ama v'chetzi rachbo, an ama and a half of its width. Ama ashisa, the ama mentioned here, 6 tvachim long. Upagos ama tlasa, and half ama is 3 tvachim, so a total of 9 tvachim. V'arba luchos hayibo, and there were 4 the luchos in the aron. Shnayim shleimos, the 2 complete ones, and shnayim shivurim, and the 2 broken ones, nachsev. So the pasuk says, "Asher shivarta v'samta ba'aron." Haluchos ayu kolechad ve'chad arkan shisha tvachim. So each luchos was 6 tvachim long. V'rachban shlosha tvachim. Each one was 3 tvachim wide. Ten arkan shaluchos v'rachban ten sham shlosha tvachim. You're going to come out with 3 tvachim very similar to the previous drasha. Chatzi tvachim mikan kozel zeh v'chatzi tvachim mikan kozel zeh. You'll have a half tvach on this side of by one wall of the aron, and the other half tvach by the opposite side of the wall of the aron. But finally, Shichos Malkum Shal Sefer Torah, then what comes out is you'll have 3 tefachim in the area of where to put the Torah, the Sefer Torah in the Aron. Now the Gemara quotes the Machlokes. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, "Amar be'ama bash chamisha tefachim ayaron b'asher." No, the Aron was made of an Amah 5 tefachim. Mantan be'ama bash chamisha tefachim. Who's the Tana that says it was made of 5 tefachim? Rabbi Judah, must be Rabbi Judah. Sanina, we learned Taman. We learned the Mishnah over there. Rabbi Judah, Amar Amah sabinyan shisha. The Amah of the temp of the base of Migdash structure was going to be 6 tefachim. Hakelim chamisha, while that Amah of the Kalim, the utensil of the base of Migdash, was going to be 5 tefachim. Vehahan aron klihu, and the aron is going to be understood as a kli, it's a utensil, so therefore it should be 5. Al daisir Rav Yehuda, with the cards of Rav Yehuda, how does it come out with the aron's cheshbonos? Du amar be'amah shel chamisha tefachim shel aron shel asar. So the length of the aron was amah, which was going to be a 5 tefachim. Shneim asar tefach u'mechza. So they're going to have 12.5 tefachim. Dechsev, the pasuk says amah sevechetz arko, 2.5 amos of length. Amah sevechamisha, and the first amah is 2.5. Amos is going to be 5 tefachim. Amos of chamisha, and the second amos is also 5 tefachim. Balgos amos of 3 tefachim. The remaining half of amos is going to be 2.5 tefachim. So therefore, the aron's total length was 12.5 tefachim. Arba luchos hayubo, and there was four luchos in the aron. Shneim shlemos, 2 whole ones, and shneim shvurim, 2 broken ones. Dechsev, the pasuk says, "Asher shivarta v'samta ba'aron," and that you broke, and you should put them in the aron. Valuchos hayubo kolechad ve'chad arkan shisha tefachim. Each one was 6 tefachim long. V'rachban shlosha tefachim. Ten rachman shaluchos arkan shav. Arkan is going to put the width, the 12 tefachim long, the 12.5 length of the aron. So you're going to have only left, according to him, sham tchatzit tefach, only half a tefach. Etzba lakosam mikan, which is going to be a figure amount, a quarter of a tefach wood on this side, and etzba lakosam mikan, dividing that again half tefach. So then you have an etzba on each side, which is going to be half the amount of a half a tefach, which is a quarter of a tefach on both sides. So Shimon ben Lakish is going to discuss how do you deal with the width of the aron. Ruchbo shel aron shiva tefachim mechza, is going to be 7.5. Tfachim, the pasuk says, Amah v'chetzi rochbo, an amah and a half of its width. Amah of chamisha, and amah is going to be 5 tfachim long. Upagos amah of trei, upligi, upalig, and then the other two is going to be 2.5 tfachim. Sorry, it's going to be, yes, 2.5 tfachim. Therefore, we're going to have 7.5 tfachim. V'arba luchos ayubo, and there's going to be, four luchos, again, the four sections of the luchos. Shneim shneim, and the two that Moshe, were completed and didn't break. And the shneim shneim, the first earlier ones that were broken. The chsev, the pasuk says, shirabayim, some devaron, those were broken. And you have put them in the aron. Va'aluchos ayu kolechad ve'echar arkan shisha tefachim. Each one of the luchos was 6 tefachim long. V'rachban shlosha tefachim, and the length was 3 tefachim wide. Tain arkan l'rochbo shel aron. He should put the 6 tefach lengths against the 7.5 tefach width of the aron. V'shtar sham tefach mechza, going to have 8 tefach and a half on each side. Etzba kodem mikansa, going to have a quarter of a tefach on this side. And etzba kodem mikad, a quarter of a tefach on the other side. Chatzit tefach mikan, and within the half, the aron's half tefach on one side. Chatzit tefach l'shilut, you're going to have another half for the moving around the luchos. Ketara, so that was this finished discussion between the two machlokes. And if you hold 5 or 4 tefachim, what comes out, how much space is in between the items that were in the aron. Now the Gemara goes back to the how did they actually build the aron? Keteras abesal to aron. So Rabbi Chanina Amar shlosh tevos asu. There's 3 boxes. Shtaim shel Rashi quotes this one in Chumash. 2 of the gold one, vachat shel eitz. So what do they do? Nasim shel Rabbi shel eitz is really 3 boxes together. He put the smaller box of gold into the bigger box vishel eitz vishel zav, and then he took the bigger box of eitz and put that in of zav vitzipow, and then he would cover the rim with gold. The chsev vitzipisos zav toar b'aisim mechutz. To include its upper rim. There's a lot of Torahs about why was the middle one filled with wood? That maybe the Talmud Chacham should be like gold, but still inside it should have the humility of the wood. And many different, because the Rambam's Talmud Chacham, many other different Muslim and very nice ideas that come out of that question. Now the Gemara just quotes a different opinion. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Teva Achas Asu V'tzipa. Betel only had one box which he called it with gold. Dechsev the pasuk says V'tzipisos Zav Tar V'vaisim Chutz. From inside and from outside, it only implies that there's one. Matalar tzapena, that you should then cover it. So it's remember binchas lavi ben nesel neser, that including the edges and the border around it, even though there's one box, it should still be covered, made sure that it was covered with gold. Ketzad ha'uluchos ksuvim. How were the luchos written? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says the way we were pretty famously taught from the age of kindergarten and up. Chamishal zeh, you had 5 commandments on this side, the bein adam and malkum ones, and chamishal luchos zeh, the bein adam and chavir on the other side. Hadu duchsim. He inscribed two stones each, the Sarasa Dibros. Chamisha Luch Zeh, Chamisha Luch Zeh definitely implies that there was only 10 Dibros. Rabbanan Amrei, no, Asara Luch Zeh. 10 Dibros on this side, Asara Luch Zeh, and the other 10 Dibros on the other side. Hadu Dachsiv. Vegadah Chavis Brisa Shetza Siva Shem, Asara Dvarim, Asara Luch Zeh, Asara Luch Zeh, each one had 10. So, question is, what do you mean? We know that there's the famous 10 commandments, Asara Dvarim. There was only 10 commandments, not the 20 commandments. So, what were these? Where did you get 20 from? So many Achorim, I think the Subsefer, others want to explain that it meant that the two different places that we see the Ten Commandments coming up. We know that it comes up in Sefer Shmos and also in Sefer Dvarim. And Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it, and there's different nuances. Shamor, Zachar, famous one, and other nuances between the two. So each one had the ones written in Parshas Yisro, and then the other ones in the Sefer Dvarim, those were all on the two sides. Nothing more continues. Rabbi Shimon, Chai Omer, Eshrim, Alu Avzeh, the 20 commandments are inscribed on this tablet. Eshrim Alu Avzeh, and the other one on the other side of the other tablet. The Pasuk says, Vayach on the other stone. Al Shnei Luchos Avarib, Moshe Rabbeinu inscribed them on the two different stones, two different tablets. Eshrim Alu Avzeh, 20 on this one, Eshrim Alu Avzeh, 20 on the other side, meaning that he had both, each side had a 10, and they're, but double-sided, so it really comes out to 20. He said, no, double-sided and then 40. So you're going to get to 40, meaning 10, 10, 10, and 10. They're inscribed on this side and that side, which is tetragora. That is lost in I think it's Greek, is 4. Now the Gemara continues another limbud about the Aseret Dibros. Between each of the commandments, the entire, can understand that all the letters of the Torah, they're filled in the manner of Tarshish. Kiamar Rabba, the great sea. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish at Karmiyate Adin Karya, when he would reach this pasuk, Kave Omar Yafel Amdin Chanana ben Achir Rabbi Yeshua. Chanana Yeshua taught me this, a very good interpretation. This is a lashon of a metaphor for the Aseret Dibros. Ma Yamazeh, just like the ocean. Ma Ben Gal Gadol Gal Gadam Gal Tanim. That between one big wave and the next, there are small waves. Kach Ben Kol Dibros. So too between one commandment and the other, the Aseret Shoteira. The entire Torah can be summed up by that. That's a famous idea. That all the Torah, why are the Ten Commandments so chashuv to us? At the end of the day, we have to keep all Tariag Mitzvos, is that really they encompass all of the 613 Mitzvos. For Shavuos coming up, you know, the Yomar, we're going to learn those Aseret Dibros, that he wrote the 613 Mitzvos based on the Lashon of how they fit into based on how they fit into the Aseret Dibros. Another mark of things, I remember Tan Chuma. His guy's coming. Rabbi Pinchas asked a question before him. Pinchas, Isaac Rabbi Yehuda. Pasuk seems to agree with Rabbi Yehuda, but Isaac Rabbi Meir does not agree with Rabbi Meir. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda? So the pasuk says, "L'kuach hasefer Torah zeh v'samtem mutzam mitzaron b'ris Hashem." Aldaisi Rabbi Yehuda. So again, this is the lashon of where do they keep where they keep the sefer Torah? Was it inside the aron or was it kept outside the aron? So now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, do Amar. So the pasuk is saying, "Eichad sefer Torah nelson." They had some box outside of the Aron. The Torah was placed inside of it. So what do we see? That Rabbi Yehuda seems to say the Torah was placed outside of the Aron, and this would disagree with the Rabbi Meir, says that it's inside. So says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Meir. What's the reason? Rabbi Yehuda, the lesson is, it sounds like it should be inside of the Aron. The Mark names Al-Daisi Rabbi Yehuda. Du'amar Ein Mukta Mokha B'Torah. No, there's no order of the Torah. There's no order of how the Torah is written. Elav Al-Aron Titin Et Sayyidus Shetin Lech. The Pasuk that's saying the Aron, you should put that what I put before you. V'achar Kap. And as it's a Kapoir, it's Al-Aron Nilmala, you should put the cover on the Aron above. So this is concluding the Indian of the Lashon of the Luchos. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shem, Ben Lakish, a Torah, Shinasal, Gosh, Baruch, Lamosh, Nasal, Eish, Lamana, Charusa, Beish, Chor, Agav, Apikaval. There's a lot of Dizik, and Chadach, and there's a lot of Arichos over here. What this means, Hashem was given a white fire, inscribed in a black fire. A lot of things, Apikaval, this. So he, Eish, this is, Torah is fire, Uvlas, Eish is mixed with fire, Chavutza, Eish has Lashon, is sown in with fire, Nasunum, Eish is given with fire, Bechsevi, Mano, Eish, Damas. The Torah is all one big fire. We obviously very deeply Muslim about this. Okay, Rabbi Hashem, we'll pick up with Heichan and Mishachavas in the next Mishnah, hopefully tomorrow.